my hip.
You know what?
That's true. That's all right. That's right. Call one leg on now. Uh-huh. I say, buddy, you looking sharp like you're somebody.
Brother Rick's on it too, look. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Hope you've had a good week this week and talked to several. And it's a busy time of year, even though it shouldn't be too busy, but it has been for me and for them too. But probably we're all trying to do catch-up work before winter comes. But we pray that you are safe and your families are doing good. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
John 14:2. That's what this song was written about. We're going to sing today. It's on the screen. Brother Rick's got it up. Thank you, brother. When we all get to heaven, isn't that a great promise?
Amen.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're living for. That's the reward of being a Christian. That's reward for determination to survive the sinful world.
Right.
When we all get to heaven.
And I want to ask that everybody sing it like you mean it today. I mean, we are worshiping the Creator of all that we know. And part of our worship is offering. That's a part of sacrifice and offering when we're willing to sing praises.
You can stand or sit, either one you want to do, or how you're comfortable. 5:14 is on the screen.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a promise. And you know, God promised a son. In the Old Testament, he prophesied in his word a son coming. In Isaiah, he talks quite a bit about what Jesus would be like and how he'd be treated, that he'd be put to death, mocked. But he paid the price for our sin, for my sin and your sin. And I'm so thankful.
That's right.
When we all get to heaven, we can sing, but we need to sing his praises here, don't we? Every day. I have a few announcements to make. Since I find them. We'll have a deacon's meeting Tuesday night in the pastor's office at 6. 6 o'clock. So deacons, try to be there. We have several things to discuss. If you have something you'd like for the church and the deacons to think about and the pastor, you let us know. Call your deacon or call me, call the pastor and say, or ask us whatever you want to ask us, or tell us what you want to tell us. We're your deacons, not our deacons, but your deacons, and we want to serve you and serve the Lord. Also, Brother Paul wants me to announce that we'll be doing here at church Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child, again, shoeboxes. And he hopes to have those here next Sunday. And you can take however many you need and begin to pack those and get them ready, because we'll have a gathering here to take them up here at church. And you'll need some help with that, some volunteers as well. But just remember the Operation Christmas Child. But the boxes will be out in the foyer hopefully next Sunday. We have a good number here this morning. We're thankful you're here, each one of you. And may God bless you for being here, not for your goodness, but for his mercies. And we need to serve him now. 2 years from now, we might not even be able to get in church.
Right.
You'd say, oh, that won't happen here. It's the United States. Well, if you look around to see what's going on around the United States, you wouldn't have believed 5 years ago it could ever happen, and things wouldn't be said that's even been said. So don't take your religious freedoms lightly. Germany found that out. They took it lightly, and look what they went through. Hell on earth. The Jews, 7 million of them executed. So don't think it can't happen here. But come while you can and meet while you can, because the time might come when we can't do it or we won't be able to do it.
Along those lines, Brother Otis, October the 25th, come, and y'all probably heard him before, but I'm looking forward to having him here. Brother Adam Sweeney is going to be coming and delivering a message for us. So invite others and come and be a part of that on the 25th, okay?
That's all the announcements I have. Pastor wants to come and do something this time. You want to do it later? About the vote.
We'll do it at the end. We'll do it.
Okay. We'll do it at the end of the service then. We'll have a short call business meeting at the end of the service, and some business that we need to take care of. And we need to have a business meeting in the church. So
I would like to have a business meeting either this Wednesday or next Wednesday. We can notify after we meet the deacons. But y'all are the lifeblood of this church, so we need you here.
Yeah. So at the end of the service, we'll have a call deacons business meeting. If you have a book close to you, if not, there's some in a few of the pews, but we're going to do 546. 546, Love Lifted Me.
Sure, I believe, stand within. Check, check. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? All right. We'll be in the book of Acts, chapter 1 this morning. Acts, chapter 1. If you're anything like I am, my body really didn't want to start off singing this morning. But once I did start singing, by the end of the first song, I felt a little better. And by the end of the second one, love lifted me. I felt even more better. I know that ain't good English, but I felt even more better. After that, as you're turning to Acts chapter 1, but you know what we did? We offered up worship in Jesus' name. And what happened? That's when His love lifts you up in the Spirit. Literally, that's what is happening in that moment. A supernatural event is going on. As you sing praises to Him, who is worthy of those praises, He lifts us up. His Spirit makes much of Jesus inside of us. Acts chapter 1. Excuse me while I be uncouth, you that are on Facebook as well. I have a fireball in my mouth, and I got to get it out, or I'm not going to make it through the service this morning. No, I pray that you've had a blessed week. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your week, and you, those of you that are here with us this morning in-house, those of you that are out there in the parking lot. I was able to speak with a few out there this morning, and also those of you that's on Facebook today. As you're turning to Acts chapter 1, it's good to be with you. We're thankful that you're allowing us to be a part of your worship experience. You could go anywhere, you could listen to anybody, but we pray that the number one reason you're listening to us today is because you want to know more about Jesus and you want to be closer to Jesus. And if you don't remember anything about today's message, as you turn to Acts chapter 1. Remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your life to Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. It's been a busy week. During the week, I've been getting, as it's Pastor Appreciation, I just want to tell all of you that have shown your appreciation, thank you, and I'll try to get more specific on that on another level, but thank you for that. But it's been a busy week. We've had a wedding and a funeral, and had a beautiful wedding yesterday in here, and the family did such a good job keeping it clean. It was Marissa McElrath and Corey Hawkins. You know, they sit over here, got a little son named Bradley. One of the most beautiful weddings that I've been a part of in a while. Two down, two to go. If the two goes like the two that already have been, it's going to be a good time. But today, I want to talk with you about the power of fellowship. So I'm going to ask you if you would to stand with me, if you can, in the honor of God's Word. And then, if you can't, God understands and so do I. We're going to be reading in Acts chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Acts chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, and then we'll jump over to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this morning is going to be a topical message. I usually don't preach topical messages, but it's going to be from Acts on. We're going to stay in the book of Acts as we move through there. But I want you to see that there is power in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look there in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the brother of Jesus. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120 people. Now jump over to Acts chapter 2. Now, Jesus has been up from the dead probably about 40 days to 41 days now. And He's getting ready here in Acts. What we see is Him ascending, and He is leaving the very last words to the church. Those 120 that believed in Him that were meeting in that room. And for 9 days, they were in there. And during that time, they prayed. They worshiped, they talked about Jesus, but also they appointed a new apostle. But for 9 days, they were there waiting. They appointed a new disciple. And nine there, they was waiting together, all these people. The church, this is what is the church. This is the start of the church. These 120 people is the first New Testament church that's ever been. And for 9 days they gathered and prayed. And listen to what it says in verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house that were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Power in fellowship. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the privilege of us coming together and being one in fellowship and worship. And God, I invite You, her person of the Holy Spirit, to come and to flood this place, just like I prayed with a wedding yesterday, just like a sweet breeze blowing through. And God, I come to You in Jesus' name, confessing to You that I am not adequate for the post or position that I'm in now. Lord, I'm a sinner and saved by Your grace, and the only thing that's good is Your Scripture and Your Spirit speaking it through me. And so right now I pray, whether it be on TV, on Facebook, in here, in the car, Lord, that You just forgive me of my sins, and I ask that my brothers and sisters are doing the same thing, and that, Lord, we are ready for You to speak to us this morning. We want You to speak. We tried to offer up just a small part of worship today, but, Lord, show us how that we can give more of ourselves to You, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Recently, we've talked about faith that pushes us to live, not just a living faith, meaning that we do things for God's glory, but that we, because we have faith in Christ, that we will willingly go out and serve and do in His name. Last week we looked at letting the love of Jesus Christ live through us as we looked at chapter 13 or the love chapter, and we looked at the characteristics and the traits of love and how, so, I mean, some of it's just as simple as not being rude. We try to let that live out. But during this whole time, and in case you haven't known and you're living in another part, I've let y'all be known that there were four weddings that I had coming up this month. Probably the second to third most happiest occasion of an individual's life. I didn't know when I was booking them that for 3 weeks in a row we'd have either a member of Thomas Village pass away or a very close member pass away as well. You know, a lot of people don't think about it. It's hard to click a switch, you know. But I've been in both. And as I was sitting there and I was looking at it, I was sitting down here during the funerals and during the weddings, I'd sit down here and I could hear feet above me. I could hear people moving, chairs sliding. And you know what? It just made me feel good. It made me feel good. God gave me this thought for a message on Friday at 4:30, between 4:30 and 5:30, because I was getting ready for the wedding, and Brother Paul was coming to do Friday's devotional, and God gave me the thought, and I was looking for Scripture when Brother Paul got there. And because I was thinking about this, one of life's most joyous events, a wedding. And people are fellowshipping and having fun and laughing together. And then one of the most painful of life's events, the loss of a loved one, which I am thankful to say the ones that I've been a part of all had a declaration and public profession of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know what? There were also people there as well. And in both cases, there was laughter and there was crying. And you know why? Because we were created that way. We were created to be social beings. We're not meant to be isolated. The devil is using this. And I understand we're in COVID. I get that, okay? But there's a way to live smartly in the midst of COVID, all right? There is. And this morning's not going to be one of them shouted out. It's going to be a pastoral sermon today, all right? I got to put my preacher hat on. Got to put my shepherd's hat on for a little while, Brother Otis. But I thought, it uplifts the brokenhearted when they're down. And it spreads to those that are down when things are a great event. From people to people. The Bible talks about the Spirit flowing from breast unto breast. But when you're around people that's singing, you're more than likely to sing. And then I got to thinking about that. Fellowship is powerful. Not just at a wedding or a funeral, but even on our jobs. You get to work in a bad mood and get around your people, and you'll get to feeling better. They'll do their best. If they love you and they know you're down, they're going to do their best to pick you up and lift you up. You see, we are creatures of habit. And I'm scared right now because I think we're moving into a society social distancing. And there needs to be social distancing, don't get me wrong. But I think we found us a good excuse not to go places too, ain't we? Amen. Huh? Amen. I just don't think I like the social distancing there. Your father-in-law asked you to go out to eat with him. Nope, social distancing. Tax collector says, hey, let's go out. Nope, don't want to have nothing to do with you. Social distancing. And see, today, I'm not being mean, I'm not picking on people, but I know how human nature is. And it gets pretty good sitting on that sofa watching on the big screen TV. And you'll go everywhere else except a social distance. So today, I have seen with my own eyes how fellowship multiplies in the good times. And how fellowships makes the most heartbreaking times bearable. And all in between. So I got to thinking, this is what I was thinking about, brother, when you walked in. So what does the Bible say about fellowship? We see it in our societal life. We see it in the going. So what does the Bible say about fellowship? And I needed scriptures. I wanted to see what it says. So the Bible brought back to me some scriptures. This is going to be a quick and simple, well, I can't say quick, but I'm going to say simple. sermon this morning. Well, really quick, because usually I get up here with 10 pages of notes. I got 5 this morning. Simple lesson, right? Simple lesson. I got to looking at these things. And the first thing, because I want you to notice that there is a pattern or an equation in all these events that we're going to look at, okay? We're going to look at 3 different events. We're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts chapter 4, and the book of Acts chapter 8. And there's going to be some things that are familiar in these events. And I believe they need to be familiar in the house of God today because we are looking at the first church here. When that power fell, when that Holy Spirit fell on those 120 people, that's all that was of the Christian religion right there, basically. Now, they were some stragglers, but the organized idea of Christian religion, those 120, if a bomb would have hit, Christianity would have almost died right then. But I want you to look what it says. Now, this is at the day of Pentecost. It says, and when they were come in, chapter 1, verse 13, and when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, the Simons of Zealot, Judas, the brother of James, and all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary with the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And it goes on to say that basically Paul calls them out, and if you look there in verse 15, you'll see that there was 120 is what it about said. But notice the first thing, as we talk about the power of fellowship this morning, these men and women were gathered in the name of Jesus. They were gathered in the name of Jesus. Look there in verse 4. It says, of Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus had given them instructions. He says, while he was gathered with them, he commanded them that they should not leave Jerusalem, but for the wait for the Father's promise. Now, where were they going to wait? They were to wait in Jerusalem, and they were to wait together, 120 some odd people. Does that mean that they stayed there 24/7? No, I believe they had jobs. They would go and do what they needed to. They would eat, maybe manage their home, and then they would come back to the central place and they would pray and they would talk about Jesus and they would leave. But for 9 days they were committed to that. Being with one another. Fellowshipping. In Jesus' name. That's what they were doing. And then there's number 2. For 9 days as they prayed about what the promise that was that Christ had promised them that was to come. They prayed about the upcoming, that they had to appoint the structure of the church. This is the beginning of the structure of the church. You remember, they take Stephen and the others and they make the what we would call the first deacons there. They're functioning, they're going, and they're waiting to see the hand of God move. They came with expectations. Did you come with expectations this morning? Did you come expecting to give something to the Lord and receive something to the Lord? Listen, it says, it goes on in chapter 2, they weren't let down when God says, I'm going to do something. You stay here and pray, and you fellowship with one another and be of one mind and one accord. And I promise you're going to see something. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were with one accord in one place. Notice that. One accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. All right, we're looking at the equation this morning. We're looking for something that's the same. Number 1, they gathered in the name of Jesus. Number 2, the Holy Spirit was present. The Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with their tongues. Now I want to tell you, it says here that when the Holy Spirit showed up, there was a sound from heaven, there was a rushing wind, there was a cloven tongue, and there was speaking in tongues. I want to tell you this. None of that has happened in here this morning, but I know that the Holy Spirit has been in this place, and I know that He has moved within me as I begin to offer up praise. He began to move inside of me, and He gave me the ability not only to praise, but He strengthened me up. Praise God. We've got a group of people that came together in Jesus' name, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us. The person of the Holy Spirit began to show Himself by working in the lives of those people, just like He He has within me this morning, just like He has in the lives of you. I hope today, if you've come expecting, then I pray and I believe He's already working. Amen. But they gathered in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit began to move. And we know that the Holy Spirit does not continue to move in the same way. This was a 120-person church. We are in the billions now that profess to be Christians. So He doesn't work that way, but He still works. He's working right now. He's maybe working on some of you, and you're remembering those times you've been in church and you felt those holy goosebumps sitting in these pews. Huh? Yeah, it ain't about a feeling, but it's good to feel it. Amen? And I can say, honestly say, He's here. We should never take for granted. We should always invite Him. We should always invite Him. He says He'll be there. And then notice this. They were gathered in the name of Jesus. This Holy Spirit was there. Notice it says, and what they prayed for as the Holy Spirit, it says that Peter then moved into preaching. This is the very one that less than about 50 days before had denied Him. Had denied Jesus and run away on Jesus. And now, he gathered with God's people for 9 days. And after being with God and His people for 9 days, he gets up and preaches a sermon and 3,000 are saved. Is that not awesome? There's power in fellowship. Amen? There is power in fellowship. So, let me ask you this. Let's think about this equation. 3,000 souls, 9 days of us, basically spending 12 hours a day here at the church praying and intervening with one another. The math should be easy, wouldn't it? 9 days, 3,000 souls. Tell us where to sign up and we'll start now. But we don't come expecting like that, do we? What would happen if we committed to 9 days of committed prayer that everybody... You know, if we just broke it down into blocks, at 3-hour blocks, and said, we'll have somebody at the church for 9 days praying. What do you reckon that Sunday'd be after? Ooh-wee, dare to dream. I bet it'd be good. You see, the devil's trying to keep us out of church, period, now. But look, let's add this up. One, people gather together in Jesus' name, right? Two, the Holy Spirit shows up. And three, people's lives are positively affected by the name of Jesus. Some of those who accepted the message were baptized, and at that day 3,000 were added unto them. You see, people's lives were changed. They were made better because the church met together. 3,000 people's lives were made better because 120 were committed to praying in the upper room and being together and focusing on Jesus. That's why the devil, he doesn't want us to meet together. Because see, when we get together in Jesus' name and we sing about Him and we raise up holy hands to Him and we make much of Him, I've got to where I freak people out right now. My wife told me the other day, I'm glad you realize that you do that. I didn't until she said, you freak people out sometimes. We were at the wedding and we were talking about situations going on, and I finally said, well, if you ain't right with the Lord, there ain't nothing keeping back the rapture from happening at any time, and I just walked away. And I thought, you know what, I bet I scared the dickens out of them people right there when we doing it. But see, that is when people gather. When we gather in Jesus' name, then when we get around other people, guess who we want to talk about? Jesus. And what He has done. All right, so we see, one, people gather together in Jesus' name, plus two, the presence of the Holy Spirit equals three. People's lives are positively changed by the power of Jesus' name. Amen? All right, now jump over to the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Book of Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now just bear with me, but y'all gonna see this same equation. Are you there? Say amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness, while you stretch out your hand for fulfilling signs and wonders and to perform through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. When they have prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. Now this is John and Peter. Peter and John. It's been after Pentecost, and you remember they went to the temple and the gate called Beautiful. They met the man who was paralyzed. He basically couldn't walk. And you remember, and this is brother, this is where Brother Adam got me this week. I told him he sent holy goosebumps up my spine. You remember, he wanted money. This is where Brother Adam's coming from. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what we have in Jesus' name, arise up and walk." Well, guess who got mad? The Jewish leadership, they got mad, and they brought in Peter and them. And they tried to tell them to shut up. They was going to beat them, but then they perceived, hey, this is a good man. But they're in fear for their lives. They're fearful for their lives. And so, listen, if you look, it tells us earlier in the scripture there of chapter 4, it says that they were allowed to go into their company. They were allowed to move to be with their people, and they were gathered. Who do you think that people was? That is the church. Hold on, so let me see if I can find the verse. 21? Yeah, in verse 21, Acts 4:21, it says, "And so when they had further threatened them, and they left them, finding no punishment with them," and look there in verse 23, "and being let go, they went to their people." Who do you think their people was? Their people was the church. Listen, they went and gathered together and they began to pray in the name of Jesus. What do we see? We see a group of people gathering together in the name of Jesus. They're going to pray. And they're coming from a hard time. They're coming from about being thrown in jail. What did they do in a hard time? They ran to the brothers. They ran to the sisters and got down in prayer and began to fellowship together in the name of Jesus. We need that right now in our country. If you're a Christian, I know you need it. You need it. Praise God, we've got a room where if you can't wear a mask medically, we'll put you in there and we understand it. But just to know that there's other people around you when you're worshiping. Because there could be a day that our country would take this away from us. And we better enjoy it and we better love it and we better use it as long as we can. Wisely, again, I'm saying wisely. We're not just going willy-nilly. But we see that Peter and John gathered with others in the name of Jesus. Remember, it's no longer just the 120 now, though. Remember? There's another 3,000. So we're growing, man. It's growing. And then they get back together. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he prays. He says, "Consider our threat." Ooh, what ain't a threat in America today? Huh? We need to, praise God, we had a good prayer service Wednesday night. If you weren't here, we had a wonderful prayer time, a good time being together. But my goodness, there's so many threats that's out there right now. We need to be praying together. That's not the main reason we added this stage up here. I just want to see what it looked like because I've never seen it. But guess what it does? It adds more altar. Don't you notice I got Kleenex and I got hand wipes up here. Why? Because I believe we need to be on the altar together in the name of Jesus. They gather in the name of Jesus. They pray that they consider our threat and give us boldness to speak. And look what happens. The Holy Spirit shows up. God's people show up to worship Jesus. What happens? The Holy Spirit shows up. Verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together." Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is here because right there in the next passage, we're going to see it. But the building that the people were inside of and the people inside of it were individually shaken. So they were shaken as individuals, but they were shaken as a group. Now, think about it. This thing starts shaking. All right, it's moving. We're all in there. And I'm standing there, and you know what? My feet might slip a little bit like this in there. And you know what? Other people's feet, they're gonna slip this away. You know what? That's a shared testimony that we had from meeting together when we prayed and the power of the Holy Spirit showed up. But you know what? Also, individually, I'm not going to be standing in the same position that I was when I got to that place. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has showed up and He begins to move. And He moves on us individually. And He moves on us as a unit. And praise God, we have our personal glories that we can give to Him. And then we have the glories as the body that we can offer up to Him. But how does it begin? By gathering in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit shows up. And then one, the gathered in the name of Jesus. Two, the Holy Spirit is present. And what is three? People's lives are changed positively by the name and the power of Jesus Christ. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in the tongues. They had the testimony of Peter and John's deliverance. Praise God. They got in there. Whoa, glory. Peter and John's back. Didn't know if we had bail money to get them out. But God brought them home. Oh, glory to God. But you know what? They ain't playing, boys. They're going to beat me. They're going to shut me up. You know, that's what we're thinking about COVID and all that right now, don't we? When we think about wanting to get out, it's going to kill me. That's what the devil wants you to think. Praise God, we got a God that can raise us up from the dead. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Not only can He keep us from dying, but He can raise us up from the dead even when it does come. People's lives are changed. One, people gather together in Jesus' name. Two, the presence of the Holy Spirit shows up. Three, people's lives are changed positively by the power of Jesus' name. The last example, go to chapter 8. Last example, chapter 8. This is about Philip. Now, not much is known about Philip, but you know Philip is one of the originals. He's one of the original 12. If you look over to find more about him, you'll see that he seems to be tied to Peter somehow. He seems to be a friend of his, but he's called. But listen what it says. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, say amen. Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds paid attention with one mind to what Philip said. And as they heard and saw the signs he was performing, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now, you got to know what's been happening. Guess what's happened? You remember I told you a while ago when they met together for those 9 days that they were praying and they got the structure of the church, began to structure it, and then they prayed and they looked for the deacons. Well, Stephen was one of the first deacons, and guess what happened to Stephen? Stephen stood up in Jerusalem and preached a wonderful message, and they killed him for it. And so now, Philip, as instructions from the gospel, he's got to go out and he's got to carry this message. He's got to go, and there's people out there. It says, if you look in chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about Saul looking around to wreak havoc on the church. It wasn't easy times for him. It wasn't the best of times with him. But he goes to Samaria. How many of you remember what happened in Samaria? You remember how Jews looked at Samaritans, don't you? Remember, they were half-breeds. They were nobodies. Remember, there was a road that went around Samaria so that they could bypass it. But remember what Jesus said over there, I believe, is around chapter 5 or chapter 6 of John. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he met the woman at the well, you remember? And you remember she said to them, come see a man that's told me everything I've ever done. Surely this is the Christ. Okay, well, this is where Philip's at. He's went there. Now, we know Stephen's been killed. The pressure's on, so a lot of Christians are leaving Jerusalem right now. So he goes into Samaria. And notice what it says there in verses 5 and 6. The equation. One, people gather to hear the praise and teachings of Jesus. They're gathered for Jesus. Verses 5 and 6. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds paid attention with one mind to what Philip said. Now, don't you suppose many of the people in town, they recognized who Philip was? Because Philip traveled with that man, traveled with Jesus. They remember the time that this Galilean came through, and this woman who had multiple husbands' life was changed, and she went around telling, and they also came, and they began to hear about Jesus and what Jesus could do. And now, he's been killed on the cross, and there's a rumor that he's come back alive, and this Philip is the one who walked. You don't reckon they know what they was coming to hear? Yes. They gathered in the name of Jesus. Something happens when the followers of Christ are willing to come together in His name. Notice what happens. It says that with the Holy Spirit too. The Holy Spirit is present. Verses 6b through 7. And they heard and saw the signs He was performing. For unclean spirits carrying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Now we know that the name Holy Spirit is not mentioned right here, but we see some of the same signs and wonders that we saw back over that Jesus performed and at Pentecost. It was casting out spirits, the lame were and the paralyzed were made whole, There were signs and wonders. Again, the Holy Spirit reveals Himself in many ways to us. And not only does the Holy Spirit live within us as all believers, but something happens, something special happens when believers gather together in the Spirit. The Bible, like I said before, talks about the Spirit flowing from breast unto breast. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, and remember, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, He said, for where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst. How? He's here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So just like right here at Philip preaching in Samaria, we see that they gather in the name of Jesus to worship and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they get there, what happens? The Holy Spirit shows up and He begins to work and He begins to move. And then three, what's the end of the equation? People's lives are affected by the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 8. So there was great joy in the city. Simple statement. Why wouldn't there be great joy? The news of a Savior's come to town. We're seeing powers that's beyond this our realm. We're hearing how the lame are rising up and walking. And on top of that, all of our sins can be forgiven. Yes, the town's going to have joy. You know what, folks? Thomas Village, we are the body of Christ. And when we gather together, and I want you to know your pastor loves you and your pastor loves spending time with you. When we gather together in Jesus' name, and that's been our motive to come, guess what? The Holy Spirit within each and every one of us comes together. And you know what happens? Something happens. I can't tell you. I don't know what it does in the different people. I hope today that I hope the Holy Spirit is leading you to say, I'm going to commit to being at my church. May not be Thomas Village. Don't got to be Thomas Village. It's got to be somewhere where Jesus is made much of and the Bible's being preached. That's where you need to be. But I don't know if there's a better one than Thomas Village Baptist Church. I'll just be honest with you about that. Got better preachers, but I don't think got better people. People's lives are affected. They're changed when we come together. People are encouraged. People are lifted up. People are convicted to get things out of their life. They can just look and see that others are there beside them. Can you imagine just being a Christian, one of the 120 that was had been praying for 9 days, you was probably wore out and tired, and then all of a sudden the next day you look and there's 3,000 more added. You know, sometimes you just need to come and look around and see I ain't in this fight alone. You know. So we see whether it be the greatest of lives, birthdays and weddings, or if it's death or if it's just everyday life, there is power in fellowship. And as brothers and sisters, there is supernatural power in our fellowship. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit living there. But not only do we see that, and I think we need that in these times, and again, I say we need to act wisely, but we need to learn. You know, there are great things that we could be doing right now as long as people are committed and we act wisely on that. We can carry the gospel further. We can do things better. But we need you here. Need you committed. Other churches can, but they need you there. But not only if we do it, do we gather in the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we leave changed positively by the power in the name of Jesus. But guess what else? It's a command. And yes, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, and let it be concerned, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works and not staying away from worship meetings. Not staying away from worship meetings. As some habitually do, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see that day drawing near. What day? The day of judgment. I'm going to tell you this. Rapture can happen at any moment. If you don't hear that, Jesus can come and step out on the clouds at any time and we will be gone. There is no sign waiting. It is ready. It is imminent. It is moment. And He says, gather together more the closer you think you're getting there. All right? That's what He says. So I want us to look at this. If we want our lives to be better, the Bible shows us if we have any faith in the Bible, then looking in the Bible, we can look at one thing and be pretty sure at this. If we gather together with other people to talk about Jesus, then the Holy Spirit's going to show up. And we all will be positively affected by the power in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to ask Sister Nancy to come. Brother Danny, would you help her up the steps? I know that this is not being one of those evangelistic type stories, but sermons. But, you know, I always say that you have to be able to take the sermon back to the cross or you don't preach it. We come together in Jesus' name to declare His glory. We're touched by His power in the Holy Spirit, and we have positive interactions and change in our life. Why can we do that? Why can we come together? Why can we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? Why can we have positive change? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. And you know what? Again, I want to tell you this. If you've never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, nobody loves you like Him. Nobody will do so much for you as Him. And if you'll just let Him go, He'll show you things you never expected. We love you, and we want to show you what it means about Jesus, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, and the forgiveness of sin. But the next thing is this. I want to challenge you right now as we're moving to our elections, but also as we're battling this pandemic, I'm challenging you wisely. Those of you that don't got no issues with your mask or nothing like that that's on Facebook, those of you that are here, I'm going to challenge you right now. Will you commit to being with the people of God as much as it's possible? Amen. Will you do it? Be positive. I got tissues down here, but at the same time, I got hand sanitizer. I'm not telling you got to come to the altar right now. I'm not saying that. I'm letting the Spirit do the work. Some of you, I know you've been coming, but you ain't got a church home yet. We'd love to have you if God wants you here. If not, we want you where God wants you. But there's one thing that is clear and evident in Scripture. There is power. And things happen when followers of Jesus get together. He does things. People's lives are positively changed in the name of Jesus. Brother Otis, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I just ask Your Holy Spirit to have His will and His way. God, I thank You for this day. The altar is open in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone wanting to come this morning, the altar's open as we stand. Said they wanted to be members with us. So it's time for us to tell them, yes, we want them to be members with us. Amen? We've waited longer than this. Amen. Brother Jeff, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, I thank you all for letting us come join the church. A good church. And we're glad to have
you. Glad to be here.
Amen. Sister Tina, anything?
Amen.
They loved on their preacher. Good. Sister Lindsay, anything? Amen. Thank you, sister. All right. All in favor that we receive them as brothers and sisters, as Thomas Village folk, say amen.
Amen.
Any opposed? Better not be. All right, let's give them a round of applause. God bless you. Love you. God bless you. God bless you.
No, sir. I won't do it. He told me not to hold his mask against it. Don't hold Alabama against Georgia. I ain't talking about that today. Don't talk about it. They did show up. We can talk about Kentucky. No. All right. Any other announcements? Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. I texted somebody. It was our fall hours. We've moved into our fall hours now. But come and be a part of that. Also, let us know about your prayer needs. And also, if they're answered, let us know. We want to be able to rejoice with them, and it helps save on ink when I print them off. Anything else before we close? Amen. Amen. We appreciate everybody wearing their masks while they're in the room here. And where'd mine go? I got mine. I'd pass out if I tried about doing that. But all right, anything else? Brother Otis, you lead, close us out in the word of prayer, if you would.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for a time together that we can worship you and hear your word and your commands on what you want us to do as Christians. But Paul writes in his writings, fail not to assemble yourselves together. And that's what the sermon was about today, in fellowship with each other. We know it's difficult, Lord, and having to do the distancing and the mask and all that is required, but you require of us too. You require us to be yours if we're giving our hearts to your Son Jesus, because he died for us. And Father, we just ask you to be close to our church family, protect them, shield them, watch over them. May your Holy Spirit continue to speak to them, and those that are not compromised with their health be able to come back to church. We love you and we miss you. And we know, Lord, that you love us even more. You prove that by giving your only Son. The Bible says he died for us. He died for me. He died for you. And, Father, we just thank you for this time together in our church body. And we just pray you be with us and love us and protect us until we meet again. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.